The topic today is entitled Jesus Christ as the Lamb in the Book of Revelation. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Holy Spirit, please speak to me and then to all those who listen to me today. We want to talk to you as the Lamb of God, not as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, not as the conquering lion. No, you had a different character when you were here on earth. You were rejected and despised. You were unpopular. Only very few followed you, as today. They expected a mighty general instead of a lowly carpenter. They did not expect you to die on a cross, not even your disciples. Oh, let us not condemn them. Maybe if we had been alive at that time, we would not have understood your role either. Have mercy on us. Heal our blindness. Open our eyes, because we know that you expect us to be lambs too. And many of us are not lamb-like in character. Anything but that. We insult and we hit and we tear down and we criticize and we exalt ourselves. Oh, have mercy on us. Please do not allow us to throw our weights around, to use force and coercion as Christians. Help us not to retaliate when people insult us. Help us not to be engaged in going in a rat race to the top, even in church work. No. Help us to serve meekly as you did. And if people walk over us, help us to accept it, forgive them, forget it, and to love them back and to pray. Make us lamb-like, please. So help us to look today at you, the Lamb of God, in the book of Revelation. And then help us to learn the lesson that you want us to acquire now, before you return, before it's too late. In Jesus' beautiful, powerful name. Amen. Dear friends, the person of Jesus Christ is extremely mysterious. Christ has hundreds of names in the Bible. Christ is a composite being. A few symbols, a few names are not sufficient to describe Jesus. In Philippians 2:6 we read, "Have this mind among yourselves, which you have in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped." He was willing to lower himself, to become small. Because of the fall of man, Christ became the Son of God. Matthew 3:17, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Because of our fallen state, Christ became man. Luke 19:10, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Christ's nature and work are symbolized in the Bible through the symbol of animals. Christ is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Christ is called the Lamb in Isaiah 53:7, "Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, so he opened not his mouth." When Christ came to the River Jordan, John the Baptist cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Now, not every person likes Jesus Christ portrayed as a suffering, dying lamb. No, many people in all ages hate that picture, reject that symbolism. Take Cain. Cain said, "No way, I don't want to sacrifice a lamb." To Cain, the symbol of a dying lamb, the Son of God laying down his life for sinful man, was too low, too humiliating, repugnant, too impotent. Or take Peter. Peter showed the same spirit as Cain. When the Lord told Peter he was going to the cross, Peter was outraged and he said, God forbid, Lord. This shall never happen to you. Matthew 16:22. In other words, don't you dare to become a lamb. No, become a lion. Rule, become a general. Not a lamb. That's too humiliating. Israel also did not want a lamb as the Messiah. For 1,500 years, Israel offered lambs every morning, every night, and during the day. But most Israelites rejected the idea of the lamb. They didn't see the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah, in those lambs. They thought that by bringing this animal sacrifices, they were buying their salvation. They were buying the favor of God. No, they wanted a lion, a hero, a strong leader, a champion, a general, not a lamb as their Savior. And dear friends, many Christians in the past and today refuse to accept Christ as a lamb. They don't know Jesus as a lamb. Matthew 18:2-3. And calling to him a child, Jesus put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. A terrible alternative. Unless you become a child, like a child in character, lamb-like in other words, you will never, did you hear it? Never enter the kingdom of God with all your knowledge, with all your theology, with all your connections in the church. You will never enter the kingdom of God. What's a child? It's just like a lamb in character, in gentleness. The New Testament is filled with the lamb as the symbol of Christ, especially the book of Revelation. First of all, the book of Revelation portrays a wounded, slain lamb. Revelation 5:6. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain. The picture is this. John saw a lamb in the act of being killed as a sacrifice. John saw a man covered with wounds, standing in the midst of the throne of God. This means the cross of Christ stands in the midst of the throne room of the Trinity on Mount Zion in heaven. We either accept that cross or never enter that kingdom. Something must die in you and me until we say, I love the cross of Jesus Christ. I accept the cross in my life too. The blood of the Lamb is mentioned four times, bringing great blessings. First, Christ's blood brings forgiveness. Revelation 1:5. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Secondly, Christ's blood brings peace with God. Revelation 5:9. Worthy art thou to take the scroll and to open its seals. For thou wast slain, and by thy blood didst ransom men for God from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and hast made them a kingdom and priests to our God. Then Christ's blood brings moral cleansing. Revelation 7:14. These are they who come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's character formation, moral cleansing. Then fourthly, Christ's blood brings victory. Revelation 12:11. Christ's blood brings conquest. As they have conquered Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives unto death. Think of Abraham taking his son Isaac to Mount Moriah to sacrifice him. What did he have? He had a knife, he had wood, he had fire, but God is the one who furnished the lamb. But all these people who reject Christ as the Lamb of God will perish in hell. They will have wood and fire, but no lamb. When the tenth plague fell on Egypt, the only salvation, the only hiding place that fateful night was under the blood of the Pascha lamb, pointing to the blood of the Messiah, the Lamb of God. Secondly, in the book of Revelation, Christ is pictured as the worshipped lamb. Revelation 5:8. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Christ is worshipped by the 24 elders, the myriads of angels, and by all unfallen beings. To him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Dear friends, Jesus Christ is Lord of the history of the whole universe. And Jesus Christ is the hero of human history. In his hand is the book with the seven seals. And Christ alone can open that book. He alone can fulfill God's will. Revelation 6:9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. Christ is victor in spite of all opposition of the enemies. Christ will sweep away all enemies. Now, on which side are you? Think of Judas. Yes, he was sitting in the innermost circle, but was still an enemy of Christ in his heart. And Judas fell away in the last hour. You can be sitting in the middle of the Christian church. Yes, the Seventh Adventist church, the last remnant, the seventh and last church, and go to hell. Just think of the five foolish virgins. They also fell away in the last hours. Search your heart, friend. Ask yourself, am I a friend today or am I an enemy of Jesus? Am I also going to throw away my faith in Christ now in the last hour of human history? Cain remained an enemy of God forever. He could not stand seeing a lamb. When Christ will create a new earth, when he will create a new heaven, no enemy of his will appear there. No, not one. Then, thirdly, in the book of Revelation, Christ is also pictured as the married lamb. Turn with me to Revelation 19:6-9. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty thunder peals, crying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, Write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are true words of God. This, my dear friends, describes Christ's relationship with his church. Yes. It happens to be the central theme of the Song of Solomon. The highest point in the plan of salvation is the marriage of the Lamb. The Bible is the romance, my friends, between our Redeemer and his bride, you and me. It's a love affair. The Bible is the story of the love of our Creator for the sinner, you and me. And this romance has been going on for 6,000 years. And how few Christians understand this romance between God and man. Many are not touched by it. Many are not excited by it. They call it stupid sentimentalism. Oh, what do they miss? Tell me, Is a girl excited when a charming young man with whom she's in love asks for her hand, asks her to marry him? Of course she is. You can hardly speak to her, for her thoughts are always with her lover. Oh, Jesus Christ is wooing you today. Don't resist him. Give him your love, your life. Give him all. I don't care how old you are. He's still in love with you. You know, the Bible portrays two women. One a lewd, adulterous woman, and a pure, faithful woman. You know what those stand for? They stand for two types of churches. One, the unfaithful church, unfaithful to Christ and his teachings. And the other, faithful to Jesus and his teachings. To which church do you belong? Does your church change Christ's worth by adding, by taking away, by misrepresenting, by putting their own ideas in? Then in that case, you belong to the lewd woman, to the apostate church, to Babylon. But if you belong to the one that loves Christ, has the same faith that he has, keeps his commandments, observes all of his doctrines, and to me that's the Seventh Adventist Church, the only one who has that full truth, then you belong to the pure, faithful woman. In the Old Testament, this romance between God and mankind was a hidden thing. It was a mystery. It was only alluded to. While in the New Testament, it is clearly revealed. Turn with me to Ephesians 3. And there, 5, 9, and 10. There Paul writes, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by his Spirit, to make all men see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. The whole universe is studying this mystery, this unbelievably beautiful romance between Christ and his church. And you and I can take part in this romance. Friends, God loves you. Yes, put your name behind the sentence. God loves you personally. I don't care what you've done. Now tell me, are you only a bystander, only an onlooker? Don't you want to take part in this romance with God? Or are you never going to get married to Jesus? Now I know, many of us Christians go on sinning deliberately, living spiritual adultery, loving sin all the time. You can't do that. Are you living in a pure relationship with Christ? And are you excited about it? The Old Testament is filled with symbolism of the bride of Christ. And from the New Testament, we know that this bride in the Old Testament stands for the believer, the followers of Jesus. Ephesians 5:25 says that. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. The wife is a symbol of you and me who have a beautiful, loving romance with our Savior. Listen to this. Jesus Christ loves the church as Adam loved Eve. My, he didn't want to give her up, did he? Or take Isaac. He needed a wife. He longed for a wife. Eliezer was sent by Abraham to find one for his son. And Eliezer found Rebekah by faith, a beautiful girl. And she stood for the Christian church. Eliezer stood for the Holy Spirit. Isaac stood for Christ. The symbolism is all there. Or take Jacob. He needed a wife. He went to Haran. He served there 2 times 7 years for Rachel. A beautiful girl again. A symbol of the Christian church. And Jacob stood for Christ. Moses had a wife. Now, she was not an Israelite. She was a Midianite, an African. And Moses had a lot of trouble with Miriam over his wife because Miriam rejected Moses' wife, despised Moses' wife. Very tragic. But you know, similarly, Jesus had trouble too when we, ex-rebels, ex-sinners, became his wife. And as a result, Christ was rejected by the self-righteous, highly religious class of Judaism, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, the scribes. Yes, even today, many of those highly educated theologians, they don't want Christ as the Lamb. They don't want him to go that low. They say, why did Jesus go so low to get a wife? Isn't that sad? Now, take Boaz. Boaz married Ruth. Boaz was her blood relative. And Boaz was a symbol of Jesus. Jesus is our blood relative. Ruth, again, a symbol of the church. Next. In the book of Revelation, Christ is pictured as the fighting, the conquering Lamb. Turn with me to Revelation 19. 11 to 16. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He who sat upon it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name inscribed which no one knows but himself. He is clad in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, followed him on white horses. From his mouth issues a sharp sword with which to smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name inscribed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And friends, in the battle of Armageddon, Jesus comes to meet Satan and demons and rebellious men. This will be the last world war. Turn with me to Revelation 6, 16 and 17. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the generals and the rich and the strong and everyone, slave and free, hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For you see, the fallen churches, those are fallen away from a pure devotion to Christ, who tell the people there is no sin today. The Ten Commandments have been done away. You can live it up. Your sins were judged at the cross. They will never be judged again. Once saved, always saved. Come on, have a good time. They're dancing in our churches. And I mean rock and roll, with wine flowing, delicious food, totally worldly. Satan is in control of them. These fallen churches, these fallen leaders of Christendom, they are all against the Lamb. Read with me Revelation 17, 12 to 14. And the ten horns that you saw are ten kings who have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour together with the beast. These are of one mind and give over their power and authority to the beast. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. Friends, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of God. Please, please become a person who can commune and amalgamate with the Lamb and be on his side. Then you will be protected when the Lamb will return to pay back 6,000 years of insults and opposition by Satan and demons and unrepenting mankind. Luke 13:23 says, someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter by the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. And when once the householder has risen up and shut the door, you will begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. He will answer you, I do not know where you come from. That will be a sad hour, my friend. So rush to Jesus now. Why will he not open? Because they did not know him from experience, just from books. Go to Christ immediately before that will happen to you. Ask him for a deep experience with him through the Holy Spirit. Revelation 7, 14 and 17. I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Revelation 19, 7 and 9. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. And the angel said to me, Write this, Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So resolve today to be at the marriage supper with Jesus Christ. Because you and I, if we are genuine, will not be at the marriage supper as guests, but as the bride. If you are not taking part in that marriage feast, you lived, you strived, you suffered in vain. May the Lamb of God become your lamb. May you become as a lamb too, my friend. A lamb-like character, so that you can say, He is mine, and I am His. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we thank you that you have spoken to us today again. We have seen clearly at Jesus as the Lamb, and we adore Him, worship Him, and we want to be part of the marriage supper of the Lamb. We want to be accepted. We want to be clothed in Christ's righteousness at that time, imputed and imparted, justified, fully sanctified, yes, even fully glorified in our character. Have mercy on us, Lord. In these last hours when we are so struggling with sin and temptation and Satan and self, give us the victory. Give us the victory. As Jesus was the conquering Lamb, so help us to be conquering Christians. Help us to turn our backs to every sinful habit that we are aware of, the pleasures of the world that surround us. Please, save us. Save us from that outer darkness, from that eternal hell, from that annihilation that expects those who will not be cleared in the judgment. Thank you for these truths. Open our eyes, that we may see you, the wonderful, beautiful God that we have, and follow you. In Jesus' beautiful, powerful name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. To order CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls, please dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra with outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? Our email address is info@americancassette.org. We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and financial support are important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. Peace coming soon.